It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Hello, Leanna.
Hello, Ed.
I don't know if by now people are listening to this, if the snow's gone away, but right now I'm sitting here looking out my window and there is snow as far as the eye can see.
Yes.
And this is supposed to be spring. And yeah, let's talk about how climate change isn't real.
This is Canadian spring.
Yeah, Canadians. Well, we don't have fall anymore. We have spring. We have winter.
I mean,
late winter.
Okay.
Summer. Late summer.
But this is not unusual for March.
Well,
at least where I am.
Every year, and this I've noticed this for years and years now. Every year, well, the weather gets to a place where we believe it's time to put away the winter coats and take out the spring jackets. And you put away the snow shovels in the garage and you get rid of the ice scraper from your car. And then this happens every year. It's like nature's like, oh, yeah, you
right.
think so? Don't get cocky.
So this is normal.
This is normal. Yeah. Except I thought there was like snow last week or something. And I thought, oh, that's it. That's the one that's going to be the last one.
Yeah. Nope. No, this, I mean, I think we talk about the weather a lot in Canada. Is it something we can talk about that isn't going to offend anyone? And you can't even talk about the weather now because now you get climate change isn't real. And that's going to offend somebody who either doesn't know you're joking or who actually believes that climate change isn't real.
Or that humans have nothing to do with it. We've been pumping chemicals into the atmosphere and into the waters for decades. But that shouldn't affect anything. It's like, you know, I remember going to this pool hall. It used to exist downstairs from a restaurant I used to go to with my buddies. And you'd go down to the pool hall. This is when you could smoke indoors.
Right.
And everything about that place was smoke everywhere constantly.
Yeah.
In fact, when they closed the pool hall, they had to tear everything out because it was embedded in the wall, like underneath the walls in the concrete.
Yeah.
It was embedded. But, you know, putting out that kind of stuff in the air, nah, it doesn't affect anything. People are idiots.
People just don't wanna. I've been doing this thing because, you know, I do mental health content online,
yes,
right? And I do content aimed at men. And there are just some guys who need to be miserable so they don't take steps to make their lives better because they can't handle the sense of self-blame that, you know, woven into the idea that, no, there are things you can do.
You think this is a guy thing? I don't know. I'm asking
this
you.
Is unique. This particular shade of it. One guy this week accused me of ignoring shut-ins with lousy families. That some men really are alone. And I said to the guy, anyone watching this video can reach out and make a connection. Therefore, there is hope. This idea that it's you're ignoring them. When I make videos once a week to try to help people, well, more than once a week, because I do segments for you, and then I do the radio show, and I do podcasts. No, I'm ignoring people, even with all of that. It's just, and we wonder why these people have very few friends. Gee, I see a correlation here.
Well, here is the modern mindset amongst a certain ilk of folks. Is believing this going to get in the way of me doing what I want to do? Oh, yeah, not believing it.
Well, the thing is, what these guys want to do is be miserable.
Yeah,
they
and make others
believe,
miserable with them because it loves company.
They want to believe there's no hope because, like I said, they can't deal with the idea that they did something wrong. And it's not that you did something wrong. Maybe you legit did get a bad hand in life. I know I did. There are things you can do to make things better. Not amazing, not perfect, but better. And it's amazing how strong a reaction you get from these guys, you know, who watch Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate videos all day. Like, I don't know why they watch my stuff. I don't know why they comment on my stuff. They know what they're going to get at this point, but they just want to yell at someone.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I
now
can't,
you've just solved your
well,
own question.
I can't help but think, like, yeah, this is what these guys grew up watching dad talk to mom this way, or mom's boyfriend talk to mom this way, and it's just seen as normal, and they don't understand it when someone's like, no, you're a jerk, not the word I want to use, but this is not appropriate behavior. I don't have to take this. They're baffled.
Yeah,
They
well.
assume I'm just stupid or clueless or deliberately being insensitive instead of, hey, try it this other way, you fart face. Maybe it's better.
I haven't heard fart face in a very long time.
That wasn't what I wanted to say. I bailed out at the
I
last
know, but
minute.
you know what? Fart face in some ways is more potent than the one you wanted to use
It
because
really doesn't make any sense, but it was softer.
I mean, most of the things that Beavis and Butthead called each other didn't make any sense,
Right.
but it was funny. But because fart face, like the other one is, it's got more of a punch. But the thing about fart face is not people hate being laughed at. Like people who are bullies and stuff
Yeah.
like that are that way because they're insecure little children inside. So they're fine if you swear at them because they get you.
Yep.
But
Yep.
if you make fun of them, if you make laughter of them, that they can't handle. So you call somebody a fart face, that's worse because you're like, you're saying, you're not even getting me that angry. I'm calling you a name from a schoolyard.
Yeah.
I want to reinstitute fart face.
Really? Well, I just did.
Yeah, we're gonna let's make fart face great again. Okay,
Okay.
that's the new thing. So, I was gonna say, oh, starting the podcast recording today, like I sit down to do it, and Zoom tells me it is updating. It's like, I didn't ask you to update because when they update, my thought is, what fresh hell is going to be new on this program that I now have to learn when I thought I could sit down and record because I'm on a timer. Like, really,
Yeah.
what happened to the days when you could say yes, update now, or no, don't update now? Because I find like my computer in the Stu studio where I do the live FM show, it kept saying, "Do you want to update? Do you want to update?" And I was like, "No, not now. No, not now." Because I would sit down just before the show. Now is not the time.
Yeah.
And then one day it decided it didn't want to wait for me anymore, and it did it on its own.
It does that.
It's like, what, you're negative optioning me? I'm supposed to be in charge of this technology, but no, it's disabused me of that notion.
Okay, they do that though because I've been at my doctor's office where there are updates waiting to be done, and that can be a security risk.
Wait, explain that to me.
Well, they can patch something because of a known vulnerability that they discovered. And so they have to get the security patch out as fast as possible so that hackers don't exploit it. So, yeah, they force a restart.
And what does this have to do with being at your doctor's and the security risk?
Well, because I've been, the reason they do these forced invasive restarts is because I've been at my doctor's office and the computer there is waiting for a restart. And they
Oh.
haven't done it. And it's like,
Okay, now I get it. Now I get it. Now I get it.
That freaks me out a little bit. They really should be a little more on that. That's a security thing.
Most people don't know crap about internet security.
Well, that's the issue. People
They don't.
think that it's complicated, and it's just, look, you don't have to. If something looks suspicious, it probably is.
Well, okay, the problem with technology, because I agree with you, the problem with technology is people don't have enough knowledge to know when something seems suspicious.
Okay, if somebody's suddenly offering you money for nothing,
And
or
your chicks for free?
well, if you're on a, apparently the newest one is they chat people up on dating sites.
Well,
And
that's good because they're
this,
not vulnerable there.
well, that's the thing. This one, I don't think this is common sense, which is why I'm talking about it.
All
But they
right.
develop a rapport with someone, and then they come up with some sob story about, oh, I've, you know, one guy I know, it was, I've been assaulted, I need money. And so, you know, the what, poor what? Guy is, well, yeah, the poor guy is like, oh God, that's, don't forget, this is somebody they've been talking to for a few months now.
Right.
And so then it's, of course, sends them a bit of money. And then it's, oh, I overpaid. If you give me like double the original amount, I'll pay you back at the end of the month. Of course, there's, they wouldn't. And it's a scam. But you'd think that these dating apps would be doing a little bit more to stop people from getting scammed on their apps. But
yeah,
no.
I mean, there's some responsibility. If it's your app, you got to do some policing.
Oh, in that case, I really do think there's some culpability of negligence on the part of the app. They get these tech bros get into this free speech, only not really, mindset.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And they think that absolves them of any responsibility for the horrible things that go on in these places. But it doesn't morally. But, you know, they want it to. So they just go free speech, free speech, free speech, not bothering to read anything about the history of the concept or the different types of free speech or anything like that. They think they can just say free speech and that's it.
Yeah, you remember what I said earlier about, is this going to get in the way of me doing what I want?
Right.
This is what people want. What they want is a license, not freedom, license to do yeah. whatever they want.
The
and
thing
anything
is, though,
that gets in the way of them doing whatever they want is censorship. It's getting in the way of their freedom. It's like, well, you just grow the hell up. Like,
but
aren't you out of the terrible twos yet?
The minute you pay $8 for Twitter, that is no longer free speech. That is monetized speech. And things like curation, because now Elon Musk is making money off of hate speech. And he doesn't think he has a responsibility to do anything about it.
Now, you know, people who are born that rich, any of their opinions.
Oh, he claims he's not that. He wasn't born that rich. He was born to somebody very wealthy, but he had a difficult childhood.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Kishmer and Tuchus. People who were born without the kind of grounding that most people have in, you know, seeing their parents or families having to you know, push through and endure. People who are born with a silver spoon up their butt. These people's opinions do not mean anything to me. Unfortunately, they have great influence, but their opinions to me are of no value. The world that they have lived in is not the world. So your perspective, you know, I don't care. Your perspective is not accurate. It is skewed by the silver spoon up your butt.
I'm so tired of people who insist that they don't have to be decent to other people unless that person proves to them that they're decent first. It just, no, that is the definition of entitlement. You behave well towards other people for yourself, not for that other person. You know,
well,
if
yeah,
people need to give you a reason to be decent, that's really messed up.
Well, you see, you should be decent. And this is me talking, okay? You should be decent because it's the right thing to do. We are a civil society. When we lose that civility, it's Planet of the Apes. Actually, the Planet of the Apes was more structured, better infrastructure than what we have now. The reason that humans became the dominant species is because we learned to work together. This is, archaeology shows it, anthropology shows it. We learned to work together. That's how we got where we are. When we start ripping things apart, yeah, you're devolving. You're falling backwards, which is, listen, there's some people of certain political persuasions who want us to go backwards because they have this idea that the past is this halcyon days that they can't handle new ideas. They can't handle challenging existing paradigms. So they want to go back and suck their thumb. They want to go back into the safe womb of what they knew 30 years ago.
The thing is, they didn't even that it's a myth. It isn't what was. It's what they wished was. It's not, people aren't regressing. They're displacing from reality. They're just, for some odd reason, they think if these trappings of aesthetic, and I know that's too highbrow for this format, but hear me out. You know, if, oh, they go trad or they go feminist or they go post-gender or they go gender nihilism or whatever, then all of a sudden their life will be better. But that's just a coat of paint. If you have a giant hole in the wall of your soul, a different color paint is not going to make you happier.
That is true. And it was something I was going to, this always happens. I have something in mind. And then you start talking, and I start thinking about what you're saying. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that, yeah. And I start following what you're saying to the point where I don't remember what the hell I was thinking, because I've been following what you're saying and thinking about what you're saying. I'm not saying a bad thing. All I'm saying is I need to write down ideas that I want to talk about because I forget.
See, this is the difference between us. That's not important to me. If I was going to say something and the conversation moves in another direction, doesn't matter what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, that is a difference because, you know, I realize that every one of my utterances is ground shaking.
Yeah, I don't think I say anything terribly smart ever, so.
Yeah, well, that's not true at all, but I was being sarcastic there,
I
by the
say
way,
my
about
most
my
profound...
my utterances. I was being sarcastic.
I know, but I say my most profound things when I'm trying to be a complete moron.
Yeah, you say some great things. You know what? Maybe next week on the show, I would love it if we could pull together some of those quotes that that Bobby Calloway has been putting together.
They're
on like
all
inspirational
they're
all posters.
On, yeah, they're all on my Instagram. Well, the PG related ones. PG rated ones. I don't think I can say those on the radio anyway.
What's your Instagram? Tell people.
Not therapy show.
Okay. Not therapy show. So yeah. These things, they are brilliant pieces of wisdom.
I can pull them up now.
Expressed in ways you have not heard before. And you laugh, but you're like, that makes, I think you laugh. At least I laugh because I'm like, you know, that's not worded traditionally, but it makes absolutely more sense than the stuff I see from like Confucius.
The most recent one is, it's amazing how many people claim to hate bullies right before they act like one.
See, that's a good one. That one's not funny. It's just true.
Yeah, the one he made before that is, you, sir, are failing the labyrinth test. I clearly have power over you.
Is that a reference to the movie?
Yeah, you know, she gets out of the labyrinth by saying, you have no power over me. You have no power over me.
I'm embarrassed to admit, I've never seen Labyrinth.
Oh, okay. Labyrinth is a great movie, but it is dark. It is one of those peak 80s movies where that was PG. And it's David Bowie plays a goblin king that I think it's Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Is babysitting her younger brother and wishes he'd just go away. So the goblin king grants her wish. And then he gets all like creepy stalker on her, and it's dark. Like, you listen to the lyrics.
I gotta see that. I'm reading that they're talking about a sequel or something, but I gotta watch that. Okay. And speaking of watching, I promised last week I was gonna watch The Clock better, right?
Right.
So that the segments are better apportioned.
Yes, yes. Are you gonna do it?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. That's why we're gonna go to a break right now.
Yay! Okay.
All right, back after this. Okay, back. I remember, Leanna, back when I was just starting out doing interviews and stuff like that, like on Much Music especially, the artists would be, initially they were like, and the record companies like, I don't know that we want to do this. And Much Music basically said, it's Ed or nobody. And so they did the interviews, discovered the artists really liked them. And then all of a sudden, all the artists wanted to do those interviews. But the early days, not so much. Well, I had an experience this week. I don't know how it's going to shake out yet, but it was with a well-known band. The interview was happening, and it was like a video, an interview on video for the radio station 94.9. And I knew as this was happening, like, oh yeah, just before the important thing, just before the interview happens, I get an email forwarded from the record company saying, we have decided that we are going to do the recording of the video, and we will vet which pieces we would like used, and we'll send them to you. And if this had come through any earlier, I would have said, okay, scrub this. Because you remember what happened with Warner Brothers and that horrible TV show Birds of Prey
They
years ago?
Warner Brothers, no matter what wing of Warner Brothers, whether it's video games or Warner Music or TV or anything, they are them and EA. The absolute worst to deal with in very different ways.
So what happened is we were in LA. We were invited to attend the premiere party for a show called Birds of Prey, which was based on a comic book, loosely based on a comic book, a good comic book, terrible show. But anyway, we go there and I'm interviewing people and stuff. And the I don't remember how it happened exactly, but the publicist who had been very friendly to us said we'd like to tape because I want to show people, what the press we got is, because this is before the internet, before you could just share it. So I gave it to her, and then her superiors saw it, and they refused to give us the tape back because they didn't like that my irreverence or whatever the hell, because people who are in PR, they got no sense of humor. They don't
Now,
want
for
anything,
people
any
who
shades of gray. If you're not relentlessly pimping the product, they don't want to use it. So they fought with us about, I mean, the tape was our physical property. They argued with us and kept the tape until it was the show actually was canceled. It was.
this is what I try to explain to people who don't understand why media works the way it does and why, game developers and things like that don't make statements on certain things. They don't seem to be able to comprehend how ridiculous the marketing and promotion wings of these companies are.
No, I agree. And so,
The things they do are actively bad for promotions.
and I this interview came down the line. Oh yeah, it's counter promotion. This interview, by the way, I've always said the power that a publicist has, they get their power from saying no, not from saying yes, and they like their power.
But
But
okay, that's what they think, but it's actually not true.
no, it's not true. But
Because they're denying the thing they're representing. The exposure, granted, it's no better for the client. Do you remember that woman that we met to represent me? And I said, okay, so what happens if there's this negative rumor that's being spread about me? What do we do about that? And she just looked right at me and said, make them like you, you cow.
yeah, I remember. That was the last time we saw that person.
That was something. And she referred me to somebody online who the draft of the social media stuff had my name spelled wrong.
Oh,
So
that
this is
person knew
not
nothing about social media at all.
publicists are not reflections of the people they represent
Oh,
a
no.
lot of the time. They are, it's amazing how poor their social skills are.
I remember at a couple of Much Music Video Awards, we would, the asks would go out to the artists and come back which ones wanted to do it. I remember a couple of times when we'd bump into the artist in the hallway and they'd say, why aren't you
But
interviewing
they were
me?
never asked.
Yeah, your publicist said you didn't want to. What do you, what? Come. And their security people would take us with them into the place to do the interview because they were never asked. Anyway, this interview, it came down the pipe really quickly. I had no real time to prepare. I mixed up the two people's names, but only once. But it was awkward. It just wasn't there. I mean, sometimes it's just not one guy. There was two
They
guys.
said it wasn't great.
One guy was when the other guy was talking. The one guy, you can see their camera even when it's not up. He's looking around. He's not paying attention.
Musicians have always been my least favorite kind of interview.
I've been having some good ones lately. This was bad, but
If something is going to be a truly horrible experience, it was either a musician or Ron Jeremy.
So yeah, sorry, that's like saying one of those names that causes people to shiver. So anyway, I will let you know next week if we get any of this interview greenlit. If we get any of it, it will be the very straight questions and answers, because I do those as well. My suspicion, since the interview was on Tuesday, I think,
Yeah,
and
no, yeah.
I've heard nothing, and they want to promote the song that is currently out, this will never see the light of day. And this is why I do not allow people. It's like you're doing a reporter doing a story, and you let the subject of the story decide whether you're going to publish it or not. Like this, no, I'll ne I don't I'll never do it. The next time somebody says we're gonna hold the video, okay, good. Go spend the time being interviewed by somebody else. Don't waste my frigging time.
It's an insulting question to anybody who actually cares about their integrity, but so many places do it now that it's become, you basically have to do whatever they want or they just say no.
Well, I think I mean I'm at the point now. I don't need these frigging interviews. It benefits them in many ways more than me. So it's like, if you're gonna play that game, I'm not interested. See you later.
Yeah, the only musicians I found were consistently nice people were the pop acts. You know, there are exceptions there, but
Actually, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you're right.
the pop performers, you know, the various pop princes that came through, Backstreet Boys, the NSYNC guys that weren't Timberlake, they were all really decent people.
98
But
degrees. They played along.
They knew they got to cut loose a little bit. They had good sense of humors. They understood what the assignment was. You get these, you know, what people consider good musicians, horrendously terrible humans, to the point that I didn't want to meet any band that I actually liked because they were actively, who are you? You're nobody. I'm going to treat you like garbage.
I remember, and we ought to go to a break in a minute, but
Yeah.
I remember, and you'll remember this too, when I did the interview with Lenny Kravitz, the Much Music Video Awards, and he was being an absolute pain in the butt to everybody.
Right.
He wouldn't take off his sunglasses. He was aloof and distant from people. And there was at one point, I think he refused to sound check until they got him the proper brand of cookie, which they drove all over the city to find.
Ooh.
Anyway, for some reason, he agreed to do the interview. So I go in and do the interview, and he is trying to maintain this disaffected aloofness. But I asked him a question, and he just couldn't anymore. And so he looks away, trying to compose himself, looks another way, tries to compose himself, and then just bursts out laughing.
Yeah.
And then the entire room started laughing, and his whole persona just crumbled. All of a sudden, he's a human being
Yeah.
that I like better because he's not trying to be a dick.
Well, because you engaged with them as a human instead of this thing that people are either going to treat like an object or treat like some sort of god idol. The reason they make people run around getting cookies for them is if they're doing that, they're not making them miserable, telling them what to do. I totally get diva behavior now.
Oh, well, I understand why, no brown M&Ms. Because if you ask for something ridiculous, then the other stuff you asked for will at least, like the important stuff, that'll actually get done. But if you don't ask for something ridiculous, the other stuff, the more practical stuff, won't get done. So you've got to give them something that they focus on so the other stuff just gets done. Because otherwise, you and I both know how many times we show up to do something, a show, and nothing has been prepared the way we said. We had minimal needs, and even that they couldn't freaking do. Anyway, break time, okay?
Yes.
All right. Welcome back. Who am I saying welcome back to? You or the people listening?
The people listening.
All right. Yeah, because you're already here.
I'm here.
All right. What I want to talk about is this thing. I mean, did you have a topic you wanted to throw out there?
I don't know. I don't know what other people find interesting.
Well, in other words, it means you got a bunch of things, but you're not quite
We
sure.
can talk about Delicious and Dungeon, but that'll lose anybody who hasn't watch the show.
Well, maybe. Let's not, okay, we don't spend a lot of time on it, but just the description of this show is worth talking about
This show
because
is the best.
it is so frigging odd. It's an
It's
animated show.
amazing.
It's an animated show. It is so, here's the concept. It's, I guess, I don't know, medieval time, whenever Dungeons and Dragons
It's
type stuff is
Dungeons and
set.
Dragons if Dungeons and Dragons were a recipe manga.
So, okay, people don't understand what some of that means. So here's the thing. These adventurers, you've got the handsome young guy, you've got the good-looking woman who's like an elf with magic, you got the thief, and then you got this guy
Dungeons
who's,
and Dragons.
yeah, kind of a tank. They don't have money, and they were down fighting a dragon, and
Oh, yeah,
one of their number got eaten.
right.
And so they want to
Don't
go because
spoil anything, Ed. Don't
so
spoil anything.
no, this is the premise from the beginning that they want to, you can reanimate this person as long as she hasn't been fully digested yet, is the idea. So they go into this and they're done by dungeon. It's not like what we think of as dungeons. It's this entire elaborate underground world with many
Someone
levels.
pointed out to me it's a lot like an old video game series called Wizardry.
All right, so it's like that. So anyway, they don't have money for food. And they meet up with this little, again, is he a dwarf? I don't know, but
He's a
he's
dwarf with no pants.
a yeah, no pants, stout fellow. And they go through to get down to the level where that dragon is so they can save the member of their party. They have to go through numerous types of monsters. And what they do is they kill the monsters and then the dwarf cooks them. But not just like over a spit, like he's got a dicing machines, like knives and things and spices. And so they make these dishes, these tasty looking sounding dishes out of cutting up giant scorpions, walking mushrooms, protoplasm type things, like a seahorse, like a kelpie, which is a malevolent sea spirit. Like they kill them, and then you see them like taking the skin off. And then this guy, he talks through as he's making the cooking. So it's like a cooking show, but he's using crazy monsters, and they all eat it, and then they proceed through. It's what a strange freaking mashup. When you first said, check this out, I was like, all right, I mean, leave an open mind, but I don't understand it. And then you watch, it's like, this is so frigging bizarre.
It's
And
fun.
it's maybe it's not original in the sense of anime and stuff, but as far as I'm concerned, as someone who's not an anime viewer, this is a really original, odd, and it
It
embraces
is
the oddness, and that's what I like.
an original combination, right? I mean, D&D, everybody sort of knows that basic, if you've watched Stranger Things or anything like that, but the combination with the recipe manga format. Yeah, that's pretty new.
It's so, and then you just get sucked in to the bizarreness of it. And
I can predict what they're gonna do with the creatures too. That's pretty funny.
I find myself waiting. It's like, okay, so they're fighting these monsters. I'm waiting to see what recipe are they going to turn these monsters into when they kill them.
Right.
It's like, how are they going? Because these recipes approximate recipes that real people eat, but with like cow meat or chicken or seafood that people are used to. And I'm like, which one are they going to turn this into? I never know. And so it's just, there's a stupidity to it that is very endearing because they know exactly what they're doing.
You
They
gotta be
know.
real careful not to watch when you're actively hungry, but some episodes are not good to watch when you're eating either. Because the monsters are kind of nasty.
Anyway, it's on Netflix. It's called Delicious in Dungeon. If you're looking for something really not the same as everything else,
Yeah.
check. I'm not an anime fan. I like, there are some anime that I like, but I'm not devoted to that genre. So if you're not either, don't worry about it, because if I can enjoy it, you can enjoy it.
Yeah, it's dubbed, so there's no subtitles or anything like that
No,
for people who.
subtitles at
I
all.
prefer the subtitles, but yeah,
Do
there's no
you?
subtitles on the. Yeah, I prefer the original Japanese voice performances.
See, I sometimes, and you know this because I've said it, there are times when there's a show that's from the UK and
Yeah.
they're ostensibly speaking English. There's times when I want to turn on the captions because I don't know what the hell they're saying.
Yeah, I
They,
have to
the way they pronounce
translate.
words and the way they sometimes snuffle when they're talking, and I don't know. It's English, supposedly from England, but I don't know what the hell they're saying. I wish I could turn on a translation, an English to English translation.
I had someone in Ireland ask me what something with a Newfoundland accent meant the other day.
How did you explain
It
that?
was pretty funny. Well, you know how they're kind of hither, hither, hither kind of
Yeah.
thing. And they said, is that a greeting that means they're happy to see you? Or is it like you have a blessed day? And I
Well,
said, it depends on where it comes in the sentence.
the
If
thing
it's the
is,
beginning, then they're happy to see you. If all of a sudden they go, oh, hey there, hi there, ho there, and they yeet out, no, that's not good.
if you're talking to somebody from Newfoundland, chances are very good they are glad to see you. They're just
Yes.
happy folks.
Yeah, they're happy people. Actually, the guy who introduced me to Delicious and Dungeness from the Maritimes.
Yeah, just they're just happier people there. I don't know what I mean. Okay, when you go to like is it St. John's where they have the largest concentration of bars per square foot
Really?
in the world. So that might tell you a bit why they're happy. But they just every time I was out there to shoot something, the people were just so damned nice. And
Okay, but they were people who worked in the tourism industry.
some of them, but not all of them, because we would go visit people and I would just talk to people on the street. It's generally, they didn't have a
Yeah, but
stick up their butt like
you were
people in
going in
Toronto
there
can.
with a TV crew.
Yeah. But
That's
I
going to
can go
affect
places
how
with a
people treat you.
but I go places with a TV crew in other parts of Canada and they're jerks. You find jerks, a higher proportion of jerks. So
Well, that's true. Some people think that it's cool to mess with media.
by the way, I was
But
trying to explain to somebody who's not very smart last night on the radio show, on the FM show, what a bell curve is.
Okay.
Didn't take.
Oh, apparently, I just saw Princess Kate has cancer.
Yes, you know what? Let's talk about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back. All right, so I will state for the record that I am not a royal watcher. I don't have any particular love or hate or anything for the royals. They are like mascots for the UK for tourism. They're their own thing. It's that culture, fine. I don't care a lot one way or the other.
I am a royal watcher.
Now that's more interesting,
Yeah, I
but
like to watch the people who watch the royals because they are insane.
who watches the Watchmen? So Princess Catherine married to Prince William, who probably will shortly be King William.
Because
She had
King
some abdominal
Charles.
surgery a couple
Yeah.
months ago and then kind of dropped from public view. She stopped having public duties and people were all going on all in the UK especially, all these crazy theories about where she was, why nobody had seen her. And then there was a photograph of her with her kids that had had some bad Photoshop done to it, and people saw even more nefarious purposes there. And that people were saying, you know, Prince William is having an affair, they're going to get divorced. There's all kinds of incident. And then she comes out and says, I have cancer. And all these people who were horrible to her before, like, oh, that's terrible. It's like, you people are freaking vultures.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're concerned now. Your concern now is because you'll look horrible to the public if you still beat on her when she has cancer. But I was like, can you just leave this woman alone? Like, I don't understand. Leave her alone.
Okay, you do. It's really hard to understand the relationship that Britons have with their monarchy without understanding the whole class deal in the UK,
The what?
because class, you know,
Oh,
like social
class. Yeah.
class. There's a lot of poverty, intergenerational poverty in the United Kingdom. and post Brexit, it's not, you know, it's not great for people there. So the monarchy serves the purpose of like telenovela meets professional wrestling for people there. And there is kind of a, you know, parasitic relationship between the media and the royals because, okay, they pull a ton out of the public system. Granted, a lot of their money comes from rents on their lands, but they make money for doing not much on paper. And so their job is basically to be a punching bag for the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's a lousy job. I mean,
it's almost like being a soap opera actor.
Well,
you know how back in the 90s, Young and the Restless stars would get slapped by ladies at supermarkets because of something that happened on the show?
I remember walking with a soap star. I forget what soap she was on, but she was kind of a soap vixen.
Yeah.
Not very nice. Very nice actress. But we were out on the street walking and just going through her neighborhood, like strip malls and stuff. And people would talk to her like she was her character.
Yeah.
Like just natural. And she knew the drill. She just dropped into the character. But people were like, they didn't clue in. This is an actor. This is not the character.
Well, they don't want that.
No, that's why people love these reality shows. Because ostensibly, the people you see are real.
I don't get the whole reality show thing. I can't.
No, I'm trying to think of reality shows that I've watched and liked. Nothing is jumping to mind.
I mean, if you count shows like Forged in Fire.
That's
but they're
more
more
of a
game
contest
shows.
Game show, though.
Yeah, those I like. I haven't watched in a while, ever since the host changed. It wasn't the same without Will Willis. But I don't know. I think it's just, one person told me you only have to half watch reality shows. So something they can have in the background and it's like company. It's like, all right, that makes sense to me.
It's like offices that play like CHFI. It's there.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they make these people deliberately out to be worse than they are.
Well, some they determine are going to be the villains.
Yeah.
And some they determine are going to be the heroes.
Yeah, and I just, I can't, knowing that, you know, like, and I think that some people, they think they know what they're getting into, but they don't know what it's like. I mean, my stomach clenches when I go certain places. Is someone going to be an active jerk to me here because of some opinion they have on me because of the media? Or, you know, am I going to be able to have a nice time? And you never know.
No, you know, I mean, no, it is a crapshoot. That's for sure. What else did I want to talk about? There's always things. And during the week, we'll communicate. And yeah, we should talk about that. And then come recording time, both of us are like, what are we going to talk about again? What was that thing?
Just going to go out the window anyway. So,
well, see, I think of things that I want to talk. And it goes out the window. I don't know. By the time I sit down to record, I don't remember what the hell they were. Because that's the thing. Why am I so stupid, Leanna, that I don't realize after all this time that when I think of something and I say, I don't have anything to write it down with, I don't have my phone to type it in, I'm like, oh, but I won't forget this because it is such a dominant thought right now. I forget it. It's gone. What I remember is that I had a dominant thought. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, and but so what?
What?
So what? It's gone. You'll have other thoughts.
Well, okay, this is true. But when you're in a position where you need to find thoughts to talk about,
can't do anything about it.
No, I've found the worst thing I can do is dive down that rabbit hole. Because if I'm diving down that rabbit hole, I might find it, I might not find it. But in that time, I could be thinking of something else to talk about.
Yeah, I have plenty of people beating me up. I don't have to do it to myself.
Is that one of those inspirational posters?
No, that was far too profound and less profane.
By the way, I found that people love talking about like candy from their youth. Like people just because everybody, it seems that there is this common denominator across all kinds of socioeconomic brackets of candy that was available when we were kids because it was relatively cheap back then. And do you remember this chocolate thing called Rosebuds?
The stuff that tasted like wax?
Yes, it was
Yeah.
ostensibly chocolate. It was like
It was old lady chocolate.
dried. Yeah, it was like dried out Hershey Kisses in a cardboard box, like a
Yeah, but
harmonica
they were
shaped
like
box.
ridges. Like it was like one of those, icing things. It had what's called a pipette, a pipette or something like that. But yeah, it was, I remember Rosebuds. They didn't taste very good.
No, they were terrible. And you said old lady chocolate.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I realize that I'm approaching the age where people are going to think that are going to like want to have from my like what in my home, I will say, will Gen Z, for example, determine is an old person's candy? Like, because there's got to be old person's candy. So what is our generation's old person's candy going to be to like Gen Z?
Oh, alcohol.
Alcohol, that's not candy.
Yeah, but Gen Z doesn't drink.
Okay. Well,
Gen Z also doesn't really eat candy.
I know. What the hell's wrong with these kids?
Well, they've been made paranoid about everything.
Candy was, as a kid, candy was one of the greatest things invented.
Okay, Gen Z eats Skittles. They do eat that.
I don't like Skittles.
How do you not like Skittles?
I don't like Skittles. They're just they're too sweet without being the right kind of sweet.
Well, that's interesting because I mean, I Skittles was one of the candies I actually liked.
Yeah, I see. I look at Skittles and they're bright and colorful, and I should like them, but then I eat them and I'm like, I don't like them. It's the wrong kind of sweet. The
Because
taste
they're f
profile is not the kind I like.
You eat Pez though.
Oh, I love Pez.
That stuff is some of the nastiest stuff on the planet.
No, nastiest stuff on the planet is when you get a package of Razzles, and you have to be a certain vintage to remember Razzles. They're little things that I don't know how to describe them. They're like thick lifesavers, but they're like gum kind of thing. And
They
when
look
you,
like two bottle caps mushed together, only they're like candy gum.
that's right. When you get one of those and it's been around for and it's dried out, that is a horrible taste experience.
You know what I've seen come back into public consciousness is Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, I think somebody was talking about making a movie and they're like,
I
yeah.
loved Garbage Pail Kids. Oh my God, did I love those collectible cards?
I remember them. It was like, what were those wacky packages that had Mad Magazine style takeoff on
They
household products and things like that?
Yeah, they were a reaction to the whole Cabbage Patch Kid craze.
Yeah. It was
And they were violent and gross, and oh God, I love them.
that's right. Released at the same time as Mad Balls, which
I
were these
loved
bouncy
Madballs
balls with
too.
these disgusting faces with
Oh,
snot
I
coming up their nose
loved,
and stuff.
oh, and Boglins. Anything, any of that kind of counterculture ugly toys. Oh, I love them all.
I know. That's one of the things I like about you.
Oh, Mad Balls were the best.
So I am it's time for us to say goodbye. Hey, we managed to cut the show up into good portions.
Yeah, see what happens when you don't worry about what we're going to talk about?
I don't know why I ever worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know either. We just start talking and we find things. Like you stress over it, and I'm like, meh.
So Leanna is able to handle her stress because she understands the workings of stress, and she helps people dealing with stress, with trauma, with all kinds of challenges, interpersonal challenges, family challenges, challenges at work, challenges within yourself, on It's Not Therapy, which is a fantastic podcast. I listen to other supposed mental health podcasts, and I can't get past 5 minutes. It's Not Therapy.
Because they have the soothing voice.
Yeah, they all sound like they're full of crap. It's Not Therapy. Always, I learn something, if not more than one thing. So check out It's Not Therapy. Available on all podcast platforms. Check out if you want to know what my overnight show is like, go to therock.fm or The Rock app. look under On Demand, and you will find there some podcasts collecting some of the best calls I have with callers during the week. And that brings us to the spot, Liana, where you close the proceedings for us. Would you please?
Bye-bye.